This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Florida State wide receiver Johnny Wilson.
6'7", 230, ran the 4.53 and at the 40-yard dash, 82nd percentile short shuttle, 81st percentile broad jump. Those type of athletes, they play in the NBA.
Yeah.
And we have him at wide receiver. Some people want to move him to tight end.
Nope.
Well, guess what? Whenever I watched him, he was not just playing wide receiver. He was playing X receiver against press man coverage, winning with speed down the field. He obviously surprises corners with how fast he is. And then there was also some times where he can win on the slant routes and kind of bend his knees a little bit. So super outlier in terms of this size profile. But for a lot of these kind of day two, day three type of players with this type of wingspan, for example, there's also some really serious hits. So I think this is the highest upside kind of day two, day three guy at the position.
You mentioned wingspan. I believe he has the longest arms ever recorded at the NFL Combine for a wide receiver. There's a lot to dive into. I want to open this conversation by saying that this is a flag plant player for both Hayden and I. If you've watched our wide receiver rankings video, I have him as my wide receiver 12. He's Hayden's wide receiver 11. I'm sure that is maybe higher than any other person that makes football content out there. But we'll dive into why. Some numbers that matter. Yes, he has 11 drops over the last two seasons. Put a pin in that. In his first season at Florida State, after transferring from Arizona State, 27 of his 44 catches went for 15 plus yards. That means that 2022 season, his first with the Seminoles, is the best of any wide receiver prospect in this entire draft from a yards per route run standpoint. Again, that 2022 season with that one metric is better than Rome Odunze, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, whoever you want to say. And Hayden, it goes beyond just a great singular season, because I am with you. For a guy who is 6'6", 238 pounds, he wins early in his routes with slipperiness, with fluidity. And then as the season went along, you started finally unleashing this beast of a size of a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And the journey of watching him was so much fun.
Totally fun. He could actually stack some corners on the perimeter on these just go balls down the field. And that explains why so many of his receptions are explosive plays. But I just want to reiterate, there are times where he actually sinks his hips and can actually move his body. And that kind of goes back to that 82nd percentile short shuttle, where you can actually see him win on in breaking routes as well. The reasons why he wasn't super productive: number one, there's a lot of target competition with Florida State. You're talking about Keon Coleman. There's a tight end, Trey Benson there. The quarterback likes to scramble around. The quarterback also not very accurate. So that kind of explains why Johnny Wilson wasn't absolutely lighting things up in the box score. The drops, 11% drop rate, way too high. Does not trust his hands quite yet. And for somebody as big as he is, he kind of flails around at the contested catch point sometimes, where he doesn't like convert those as the high rate out there. But I think that he moves better. And if we can kind of iron out some of these drop issues and these hands issues, I think that he can be an X wide receiver, which is very hard to find. A lot of the players in the top 15 for most people rankings are flankers. They're slot wide receivers. There's not that many X wide receivers, especially at the kind of like round three border where Johnny Wilson is commonly mocked to. So complete unique player out there. And I think that with a little bit more development with his hands, I think that he's going to be a very, very fun player. And hopefully he gets on the field early on.
I mentioned the journey of watching Johnny Wilson, because early on during that 2023 season, it very much was, I'm just going to create the separation as an isolated outside wide receiver early in my route and try to sustain it as almost a small wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And he was still winning in that area at 6'6", 238 pounds, because he's a freak of an athlete who carries his weight and his frame and his length extremely well. But kept watching, didn't love him in the big wide receiver game until I got to that Clemson contest. And then he started utilizing push-offs, leaning in and then giving a little shove and winning along the sideline. In contest situations, you saw him with the timing of his jumps, with the timing of his hands into that diamond shape, using that length. And once you incorporate that big wide receiver game more consistently, man, that was the complete package at both spots. That is so rare to find. And you talked about this in our wide receiver rankings video, where so often we see outliers become the best at their positions. Guys who break the mold then become the identity of the NFL. I am not sitting here on April 12th saying that Johnny Wilson right now is the perfect prospect. But if the ascension of these talents and the trajectory of them become more consistent, and again, they start connecting on a more complete level, which I think is the path that he is on. This is one of those players who could look back on the 2024 NFL draft and say, oh man, he was one of the pillar pieces. He was one of the identities of that draft class.
And he wasn't running any Mickey Mouse routes. He wasn't playing in the slot. He actually led this draft class with 52 yards per game as the isolated wide receiver. 52 yards per game, that's better than anybody. So the starting point on this trajectory that we're potentially getting on is not so bad for this type of archetype. We're talking about like the Darren Waller types. I've seen like Marquise Colston be comped to him. I think he can actually do some Kenny Golladay things as the X receiver, winning downfield, huge contested catches, and a little bit of speed to kind of catch some players by surprise. But there's even like higher end outcomes, like I think that you were going to talk about some of these guys, like Brandon Marshall, for example.
Yeah. So this frame and this type of player either equals an outstanding talent or ones that we get really excited about and gives you absolutely nothing. I'll talk about that group first. And this is going to be a blast from the past for many of you that have followed NFL drafts for a while. Can I interest you in a James Hardy from Indiana back in 2008, a Mario Arruda from Louisville in 2008, Ramses Barden in 2011, Brandon Coleman back in 2014 out of Rutgers, my guy Hakeem Butler 2019 out of Iowa State. So it is quite easy to fall in love with these big guys that can move. But guess what? When they also get the nuance, the details, the want to of the game and can win with that athleticism plus the size, then you get Plaxico Burress, right? Who was 6'6". Then you get Brandon Marshall. You get Marcus Colston. You get Vincent Jackson, who I think is an incredible comparison here, coming out of Northern Colorado in 2005. And even, you know, the big Mike Williams from USC's too. Calvin Johnson. I mean, again, when they hit, they are a difference maker for your team. I do believe whatever club drafts him will need some type of plan, not a week one most likely impact player here, but maybe we get to week 12, week 14, or we get to week one of the 2025 season after some coaching, after some detail work, after again, there's just time to grow and get reps of a guy who understands the big and small game. And that's when I think the package can come together.
I also really liked his interview. There are many reps of him driving a corner basically into the concession stands to buy a beer because he is just so much bigger out there. And I think some people want to say that, oh, he can block well and he's this big, put him at tight end. There's just no evidence that him with his hand in the dirt is going to work. And also, you just don't see tight ends go play X receiver and win 25 yards downfield. That's just so rare. And Johnny Wilson could actually do that. So I think there's a chance where his blocking comes into play and he can do like Gabe Davis style things. But Johnny Wilson is just a much more fluid athlete than Gabe Davis is, and also just way bigger than he is, where I think that there's a path to him getting on the field because I think that there's a little fight to him. And then I think if he can kind of just get some more polish, and now obviously an older prospect that didn't declare early, that's always been at Power Five schools, it's kind of questionable why he doesn't have that polish yet. But this is just a rare body type. And I think that most people view him as like a round four, round five guy, moving to tight end and stuff. I want to see him as a wide receiver. I actually want to see him in the preseason because there's a chance where he's just going to be dunking on dudes immediately.
And if we take into context of where he was at Arizona State, I believe the same season is when Jane Daniels transferred. The same season is when Ricky Pearsall transferred. So like there was something in the water of, hey, the trajectory of that college, of that university wasn't going in the path that these people wanted them to. So, hey, let's get out of there. And guess what? All three immediately then produced at their next school. Mm-hmm. I mean, what Johnny Wilson did during his first season at Florida State with questionable quarterback play, it's a big deal. It was incredibly productive. I want to add, there are moments where he looks like a fawn out there, like a newborn baby deer, okay? Mm-hmm. Where on elongated snaps, it is like an out-of-structure play. It does make that first and second step take a little bit of time moving laterally. And then the drops. If you just put together like his bad contested catch point situations or when he's shocked by the football, you're going to have an awful highlight reel there.
Yep.
I saw that less and less as I went along, and it felt like he learned the game a little bit more. But again, I don't want to overlook that, hey, when he's not expecting the football or he has bad technique or something else happens, it looks terrible. It does. I'm not overlooking that. But I would rather look into the areas where he does win, which is as a legitimate wide receiver, not a, oh, this is an athletic big body type. Let's move him to tight end.
Right.
That is too simple of a mindset for me.
And I think it's hard to find a sleeper like in round 3-4 that just looks like the average wide receiver. I would rather take the either super undersized guy or the super big guy or something unique about his profile and be like, maybe we're just misunderstanding how to use him. And I think that's exactly what Johnny Wilson isn't. Like, you see this within the NBA all the time. You'll get these guys that are 6'8 and kind of struggling as a rookie, and then all of a sudden 3 years later and now they're the all-star type. So it kind of maybe takes a little bit more time for somebody at 6'7" who's actually trying to plant his foot and get up the field for him to maybe take a couple extra years to kind of figure all that stuff out. So just, I think it's just at some point, just got to go for the outliers. There's no point in drafting a 6 foot guy, 200 pounds, that's been there for 4 years. I would at least rather roll the dice on somebody like this because there are too many high ceiling outcome types in this mold.
Yeah. Again, Hayden and I are kind of on an island with our lots of optimism and praise for him. There's many of other people who might have him as wide receiver 20 or later than that.
Right.
What I want you to take from this is to inspire you to go and watch him a little bit. Watch the highlights that Weaves has put up while doing this and go back and watch some full games if you want to and see which side of the coin you land on. Again, he is imperfect, but this is not even a mold of clay, you know, someone who already has really positive traits that if you lean into those, put him in positions where he wins, which is that wide receiver, and just let him make some mistakes and learn the game for a little bit. This is the type of break the mold, an outlier that doesn't come around very often. And it's, I think, flying under the radar in one of the best wide receiver classes that we have seen.
And I promise he will be very fun if he hits. Like if he hits and if you want to join the train, it'll be a very fun ride just to watch him go ball out.
This is UCF wide receiver Javon Baker.
Real routes from X receiver, could beat press man coverage, has a pretty fluid athletic ability on film, had a transfer from Alabama to UCF, but at UCF, led them in receiving in back-to-back years. Last season, 33% yardage share. Not an early declare. He didn't come from the biggest school, but I thought that there were some flash plays sprinkled across his tape.
Like you said, this past season at UCF, 52 catches, 1,139 yards, 7 touchdowns. To go into that a little bit more, I think he averaged 22 yards per catch, 7.2 yards after catch per reception. Just 17 of his targets this past season were 1 to 9 yards. That's 69 targets, 10 plus yards down the field. So these were kind of difficult ones that he had to fight for. Mm-hmm. And man, he fought for them with his 6'1", 202 pound frame. I think what really came in handy with him, Hayden, 71st percentile wingspan. And that's even bigger than that size. And you saw him use it constantly, especially in the red zone for touchdowns.
Yeah, he is kind of a contested catch guy. There's some like really sick one-handed grabs. There was one slant route where he completely plucked the ball up in the air and then actually turned his body up and back towards the sideline for a first down. So there's like some flashes of some really nice athletic traits coming from the hardest wide receiver position to find. So I don't want to overlook that. Now, you're talking about some of the yards after the catch numbers. Unfortunately, when I was watching this, there were two like 80-yard touchdowns where it's completely broken plays. So I think that he's like an outlier statistically with that type of stuff. That's not really his game. He can do it on occasion, but I think that he's needs to clean up some of his route running. I think there's some times where he's a little bit choppy. I didn't see like amazing burst. 4.54 in the 40-yard dash is 25th percentile weight adjusted. So not a bad athlete, but nothing exceptional. But I thought his ball tracking was good. His hands are really good as well. So I think it's like a little bit more of a work in progress, but I can at least see the path to being a starting NFL wide receiver.
Anyone that tuned into our wide receiver rankings video knows that Hayden and I are on opposite ends of the spectrum.
I'm ahead of consensus, both in dynasty and the consensus rankings by multiple spots. So I'm with you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Because
in
have
top
him.
14, he wasn't in there. He was my wide receiver 10.
He's all yours.
And believe a major part of that is I differ from Hayden in the way that I believe he's like a downright rude route runner. Like, he would embarrass a lot of the corners that he was opposite from, either creating tons of separation with initial moves, sometimes beating them twice in double moves. And then on top of that, I thought he had very arrogant hands, really liked his releases, loved his body control in his breaks. And in fact, because what I talked about, that so many targets were 10 plus yards down the field, just 17 again from 1 to 9 yards, we didn't see a lot of those early breaking routes that I think he'll get even more at the NFL level, middle the field routes as well, because I think that factors into his strengths. And they were just using him as like a major big piece of the offense, right, as the big play guy. And again, maybe the athleticism, the 69th percentile vert, 49th percentile broad jump, like you said, 4.54, 1.58, 10 yard split doesn't perfectly factor in as like one of the best deep threats, right, in this class, because he's kind of viewed as a vertical player. Mm-hmm. I love more his intermediate game. And I think that's the area he's really going to shine at the NFL level.
So I saw a lot of separation both from his releases. I thought there was some bend on occasion there. And he's kind of one of these guys, I think a little bit of an overseller, which creates a ton of separation on some routes and then some other routes where it seems like he's just not creating enough, because I think he's a little bit of an overseller. So I think we're going to have to kind of refine that, figure out what works exactly. But yeah, some of the comps that you're talking about where you are kind of this physical X receiver type that kind of contested catches, like I think a high-end comp for him would be like what Michael Gallup was doing. Romeo Doubs is kind of like a baseline comp for him, who plays big with the Packers out there, even though they're not like exceptionally large human beings. So yeah, I think this is like a classic round three guy that I think some teams will value. There was a couple drops that led to like truly like some of the most hilarious interceptions that you'll possibly see. Those are obviously outlier plays, but I think on occasion he can get a little bit out of control as well.
Going back to the yards off the catch, I think he has a little bit of dog in him. And that's what benefits the most after the catch. He's not someone who's going to be a Zay Flowers post-catch, like square up to his opponent and make you miss in a phone booth. And then he's more of, hey, I am going to still turn around and face you, make one plant and then cut and see if I can break your arm tackle. I mean, I compared with Deontay Johnson, who can kind of make sense why you might not be totally in love with Javon Baker like I am. But I am with you in some ways.
Have you ever been on vacation? After a long day of activities or sightseeing, you have a night in, room service, bathrobes, and television or movies. And when you're in a foreign country, you scroll Netflix or Hulu or whatever streaming service you have, and you realize that the library of content there is so much larger than it is in the United States. You start a new show, a new series, and when you get back home, you realize you now have to find that on a different service or pay for it in a different way. That is where Surfshark comes in. It's a VPN service that lets you virtually travel the world with a tap of a finger. You can go to Spain, Canada, Costa Rica to watch the content available in those countries. So you can try Surfshark today, totally risk-free, with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And get Surfshark VPN at surfshark.deals/underdog or enter promo code underdog for 3 extra months for free. You heard me right. 3 extra months for free. That is surfshark.deals/underdog.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
in, hey, if we rein him in a little bit with this multiple movement stuff. We've seen this a lot with some prospects. Like, you can just take in recent years, like Jerry Jeudy as an animated route runner and Garrett Wilson as an overly animated route runner. Wilson, more compact. I would say that his movements have purpose. Jerry Jeudy, still very animated, and it doesn't create a lot off of it. So I don't think he is the same route runner in terms of like, hey, body parts all over the place as those guys. I do think he kind of plays more contained to his frame, but we have seen, if you do have those concerns, it being reeled in with the ones that do go on to be consistent top class producers. Whereas the other ones still stick around, they aren't as consistent.
A little frustrating.
Yes.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Jerome Baker is kind of a frustrating low end starter out there.
And Deontay is frustrating too, because it can definitely be hit or miss. And again, it's to your point, as an ex guy who's 6'1", you have to win as a technical player like Deontay does. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes that can lead to thin margins and it going one way or the other.
Yeah, I think that Jerome Baker plays more physical than Deontay, but I think that Deontay is just a little bit more fluid and has a little bit better of a path and kind of like pre-snap plan for what he's doing. So yeah, the production was rock solid, comes out 61st percentile in my model. I think that you're not going to find perfect prospects in round three. So I'm still in on Jerome Baker, just missed my cutoff on that top 14.
In another year, yeah, you might like him more.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. This is like, he's got the enough speed. He's got enough size. He plays the hardest position on the field, could win downfield, which is a little bit harder to do than the underneath stuff. Like, he has to earn all the production that he's getting. So yeah, and there's also like, there's been UCF wide receivers that have panned out. Gabe Davis is like not that dissimilar than Jerome Baker in some aspects too.
And Baker was recruited to Alabama coming out of a high school that had 17,000 people in the town at large. Wow. After Alabama, he was recruited to Kentucky, had signed his letter or was close to it, and then they pulled his scholarship when they had a coaching change, I believe, and don't quote me on this, believe that's when Liam Cohen left, who is now the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So then he reverted back to UCF. Yeah, again, I think he wants to embarrass the player across from him, and that is like this mentality that he plays with, that he is a dog, and that can be – this is an awesome wide receiver class. That can still be difficult to find in this one. Like, you legit see him point at his opposition even when the target doesn't go in his direction and be like, oh, I beat you on that one. Yeah. I'm about to do it again.
Yeah.
Love that. I can't get enough of that.
Yeah. And I've seen him block well. There definitely is a little bit of this taunting aspect that I definitely love from him. So yeah, there's something too. If Nick Saban thinks you are a good football player, that's always in the back of my head. So yeah, I think it'll be a fun prospect to kind of mold over the next couple of years. We'll see him in the preseason. We'll see if we can sneak him into three wide receiver sets out there. And if he hits, then I do think that maybe Deontay Johnson, like, trying to get that much volume is off the plate. But I think a version of that, I can definitely see. So I would not be mad if my favorite team drafted Jerome Baker somewhere in round three.
This is Michigan wide receiver Roman Wilson.
There are manufactured touch slot wide receivers, and then there's slot wide receivers like Roman Wilson who can actually win a little bit down the field. I think the starting point is he's a very reliable player. Only 2% of his targets were dropped. 78% of his catchable targets went for a first down. That is very hard to do. I think for a slot wide receiver, he has more straight line speed than your traditional guy, but he just doesn't have the catch radius, the agility like some others. So there's a little bit of pros and cons to his game.
Wow plays, some might say. Let's do some numbers that matter real quick. Okay. 5'11", 185. He did run a 4.39 40, 152, 10 yard split, a 93rd percentile shuttle, a 78th percentile three cone. Those all line up with really good slot wide receiver numbers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we do like find this gray area with slot guys. I think Roman Wilson is legitimately just an inside wide receiver. I mean, 80 of his 109 targets over the last 2 years were out of the slot. And if you translate that, only 89 routes versus press coverage, according to PFF, over the last two seasons. Compare that again to the gray area slot guys. Ricky Pearsall had 205 routes versus press the last 2 years. Ladd McConkey, despite injuries, had 122. Now, what we have seen is, like you said, he has downfield speed. Some of these slot guys are getting a bit more vertical. He had a 13.9 ADOT this past season. 60% of his targets were 10 plus yards down the field, but just 3 for 8 with contested catches. Only forced 2 missed tackles last season, 9 total in his career. So what do you do with this? Because for me, if I was making one statement about Roman Wilson, is that I think there's a Roman Wilson in every single draft.
There are Roman Wilsons kind of littered everywhere. I think that you just have to hope that his straight line speed really translates where he can run away from nickel corners. And I think that's what I saw him the best. These crossing routes, especially off of play action in the Michigan offense, out routes, those type of things, you can get him running away. But I really like him on these crossing routes, mesh concepts where he can catch the ball, get some yards after the catch ability. All of his yards after the catch ability, like you said, though, comes because of his speed. He's not going to break tackles. He's just too small. And sometimes it's as easy as that. Like you said, only forced 9 missed tackles on 107 career receptions. That's about as low as it gets for this type of receiver. But you didn't get as many screen stuff, not none of the easy kind of manufactured touches. He had to earn his looks, and there wasn't that many looks in this Michigan offense. So kind of a Shanahan slot wide receiver play action, get him over the middle. I can see how that can be an effective player. I think, like, if you're looking for an upside comp for him, I came up with Randall Cobb, who had some catch radius concerns. Now, obviously, he went with Rodgers and posted some really ridiculous numbers for a stretch there. But I thought he was more of a straight line speed guy from the slot with a very similar frame to his body. So I think that's kind of the upside for Roman Wilson.
I do think he pulls away from man coverage on those crossers and on those overs. He'll start from here. He'll work 17 yards down the field from this point. And it's really tough for a dude to stick in his hip pocket for that long. And in fact, Michigan used him as their like full speed motion guy, which again at 4.39 or 1.52, 10 yard split makes a ton of sense on top of that. I just went back over the last few years and like, let's just take 2023, for example. Here are the top slot targets among the top 23 in the NFL. And just looking at this group of like legit slot guys, I don't know who he plays like, you know? There are always slot receivers that pop up every single year here or there as like random producers, because maybe they step into this role contract year, they're attached to a really good quarterback or a team that really needs to throw the football a lot, and they're super productive. But if we talk about, especially now in the league, that again, it's blurring the lines of, hey, this guy can be an outside wide receiver in 2 wide receiver sets and then move inside for mismatch purposes in 3 receiver sets, I think it's becoming less and less important to have just like a true role-playing slot guy who, at least to me, if we're talking about multiple breaking routes and like setting a dude up, I didn't see that from him. Again, it was almost full speed routes from coast to coast, and that was the name of his game. However, did love how when J.J. McCarthy would escape the pocket, Roman Wilson and him were very connected on those. There was almost a string between them. So on the scramble drill plays, Roman Wilson was constantly open and was very successful on them.
I think you can take your argument there as a pro or a con. The con is this just not a role that's super effective or super impactful in the NFL. You want to throw the ball downfield for the most part. And the pro could be, well, a lot of the slot wide receivers don't at least have his vertical playmaking ability. I think like right now it's Christian Kirk. I think Christian Kirk has a much bigger catch radius and plays a little bit bigger and outside of his frame.
I thought Roman Wilson's catch radius was like real bad.
And that's the problem, is because we're talking about these crossing routes and working with speed. Well, if you're running sideways, if the ball's barely behind you, barely in front of you.
And Ricky Pearsall does a fantastic job of that.
Right. And I think that the big thing you'd point to is a lot of the outside wide receivers in college that either don't have the separation ability or just might run better routes from where the slots are, they go from the outside to the inside. And there's your slot wide receivers in the NFL. Right. So going from slot only to slot only will take very particular type of skill set. And he doesn't have the lateral shakeability that the Amon-Ra St. Brown types have here. So you're kind of figuring out what exact offense is he going to. Maybe it's the Shanahan slot only type of guys, get him on these play action crossing routes. Maybe the Bengals, for example, that could be an option for him as well. But a very kind of weird slot only type of profile for Roman Wilson.
I'm not trying to bury him, but I am looking at him from like all 32 teams. Now, if he goes to, let's say, like the Minnesota Vikings and can take over a pure slot role if they want one, a la like what a KJ Osborne did at times, then like, bang, we have a productive player in that environment. I don't compare him to Russell Gage, who you remember like popped up with like a real big season for the Atlanta Falcons, got a good contract with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, and then just got hurt and basically never played again. But it was a slot only guy who had a season based on the volume, but the longevity of it was kind of in right. question a little bit. I don't know, man. Let's even KJ Osborne and like even my mind, Juju Smith-Schuster came to mind when looking at Roman Wilson. But obviously Juju's 2 inches taller, like 30 yeah. pounds heavier, awesome in contested situations. But in terms of like just the style of play on like the same over and okay. crossing routes. But again, Roman is smaller. Bad catch radius and not winning contested. So, like, what do you do with that, I guess, is my question.
Well,
I am burying this dude by accident.
Well, let me make the bold case. He's now on the Chargers, and they're running the same play action offense, and it's Herbert slot wide receiver now totally. Running up numbers.
Totally.
You know, like, that's where I think when I started the show, because I was looking for the positive outcome here, and I think there are some. It's because of the speed, but also 78% of his catchable targets went for a first down. That is a really high number. Some of the first round wide receivers that we're talking about, like the Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, those type of guys, they're like at the 50%. We're talking about like 78% for Roman Wilson. Only 2% of his targets were dropped. So I think he's a very reliable guy. And I think that there is an element to this Michigan offense that everyone's going to be obsessed with. So I do think he's going to end up as a starter. I don't think he's going to be for every single team here. And I think that yeah. once we kind of digest the landing spot, we'll be able to paint a little bit clearer of a picture from him. But you and I saw the same exact athletic traits for him. And it's hard to like get into this production profile just because Michigan's offense didn't throw the ball. I think one of the reasons why they didn't do that is because the receivers weren't very good. And I thought J.J. McCarthy was better than his wide receivers, and that's why they didn't throw the ball. The sad stat was 9 forced missed tackles over his entire career. Now we're going to the NFL. Ugh.
Again, producer, we're going to throw up this list in comments. I would love for you to tell me who you think he plays like this. And I understand this is just from this past season, but top slot target getters: CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Adam Thielen, Tyler Boyd, Josh Downs, Jaden Reed. He doesn't play like Josh Downs. He doesn't play like Jaden Reed, right? Then we keep going down the list. He doesn't play like DeMario Douglas. He doesn't play like Khalil Shakur. He doesn't play like Wandale Robinson. You know, in the past, he's not a concise multi-breaking route runner like Hunter Renfrow was, for example. Right. He really is almost like this straight line from east to west.
I can see some
west.
Khalil Shakur, I guess, out of that list.
Okay. Yeah. I think Shakur is like more nimble,
a little more physical,
and like fluid as a player, okay. I guess. I don't know. I feel like the NFL has kind of like outgrown this player in a little bit because right. they move people around so much more than yeah. they used to, have being very stationary with their 3 wide receiver sets. Mm-hmm. Whereas again, now we're getting like alphas in the yeah. slot a lot because yeah. these are spaces and advantageous matchups that play callers believe they can take advantage of.
To Roman Wilson's credit, he was not only in the slot, he was like 30% of his snaps were on the perimeter. Now a lot of those were,
but he got like no targets there.
Right. And there were only 2 wide receivers on the field because they would use tight ends and fullbacks in Michigan's offense. So it's not the exact 1-to-1 comparison, but maybe somebody says, oh, for a couple plays, we can keep you out there. But yeah, I think we'll learn more about Roman Wilson's outlook once we digest the landing spot. It's a weird player.
Yeah. Again, there were 27 teams that used 11 personnel, 3 wide receiver sets more than 50% of the time. Right. So he's going to be on the field for those teams,
yes,
more than 50% of the plays. I'm a little nervous when we solely look at or project a 3 wide receiver set player that can only play in 3 wide receiver sets, unless he shocks me. But as you said, if the landing spot hits, then I could be eating my words. And maybe that's why we have draft review shows.
True. And maybe this is just our half PPR brain. Maybe if you are a full PPR scammer out there, maybe you like Roman Wilson's chances a little bit better than us.
This is Washington wide receiver Jalen Polk.
One of the highest floor wide receiver prospects, in my opinion. I feel very comfortable that he's going to go immediately into a starting lineup because he's very versatile. He's got average size, 6'1", 203. Nothing going to wow you in terms of athletic traits, but he has this like gritty style. You'll see him block players. You can see him move into the slot. He can work downfield on go route. So I think he's kind of more of like a Josh Palmer type, maybe Rashee Rice, if we can really start getting things cooking here a little bit. But nothing wowed me, but I can see why a lot of people just expect him to go in there and immediately contribute.
I feel like Rashee Rice is like your go-to comparison this year for some reason.
Yeah, my favorite one for Polk is Josh Palmer. Nothing ever wows you, but yeah, with Rashee Rice, it's like he just is like the most,
because I don't see average, that at all,
average size. Like when I'm filtering through height, weight, speed, and like production, like where you want on the field, he's kind of like the average guy that's in the recent draft class.
Interesting, because like their play styles to me are like
totally opposite.
Back in Rasheed Rice at SMU was a different ball game with
but
how he was used here.
But it was kind of still just like crossing routes, get him in his hands, and let's move. Mm-hmm. Like Jalen Polk to me is every bit of 6'1", 203 pounds, which by the way, if we compare that to last year's class, like that feels big. And I actually think he maybe looks smaller on a college football field because he was next to Rome Odunze. You know, he has 9 3/4 inch hands, which is 76th percentile. And as you said, like vertical jump, broad jump, 75th and 88th percentile, 10-yard split, 152, 452, 40-yard dash. Did have 1,159 yards this past season, going with 9 touchdowns and some numbers on top of that. 45 of his 70 catches went for first downs this past season. Like that, to me, is the headline of his game. I'm going to do the grimy, the nitty-gritty work. These are 7-yard patterns, 12-yard patterns, work into traffic or trash and utilize my strong hands that I do have, even if I have not created a lot of space and make difficult grabs for us to move the chains. He did it at the college level, and I think that that's what his game is going to be at the NFL level.
Lots of back shoulder routes. You just saw that's part of that Washington offense. Plays bigger than his size would indicate. So yeah, I'm just like struggling to find like where he's going to absolutely dominate in any asset as a actual like move the chains. I think that his route running is solid. There were some really high-end contested situations. There were also some dropped passes. I've seen him at times kind of get pushed off his spot, but then I also watch him block in the run game. So I was like looking for like something I could point to, be like, this is why he's gonna be an 800 to 1,000 yard wide receiver. And I just felt like I was one kind of tier underneath that. But if I like knew I just needed a third wide receiver to be part of my team, a glue guy, if you will, right, I think that there's like definitely appeal for Jalen Polk. So I think there's like an early round 3 guy. I would not be surprised if somebody wanted a safer prospect in round 2, because there's a lot of boom bust type of profiles in that range. If you want to go the easy route, I wouldn't blame you with Jalen Polk.
I think on a great team, he's probably your third wide receiver. On an average team, he could be a team second wide receiver. What I really liked was his concise movements. And I think he's going to end up being an outside player who then reverts back inside. And maybe like early career Tyler Boyd has that element to him. I've seen some people like our buddy Connor Rogers and Trevor Sigma have mentioned Chris Godwin. That's a bit elevated to me. When Chris Godwin came out of school, he was like an awesome athlete.
Right.
I'm not sure if I see that same level of athleticism with Jalen Polk here. But man, he does attack the football with his hands. I also felt, because this Washington offense was so vertical, just 25 of his targets out of 113 this year were 1 to 9 yards. He'll get more easy stuff in the NFL. And I think it's going to equal easier production on top of that. So finding someone who already wins in an NFL offense, because we know that Ryan Grubb is now an NFL offensive coordinator who already does the dirty stuff versus you know, the Tennessee wide receivers we were talking about last year, or USC wide receivers, or Oregon wide receivers. We can keep going on and on and on with this. Just space guys. He's already fight you in the phone booth. I'm going to create a touchdown or a first down and win it away from my frame on difficult grabs, while also forcing 15 missed tackles this past season after the catch. I think that game translates, even though it's not special in any category.
Just looking at like who's competing with, obviously, Rome Odunze, but also the slot receiver, Jalen McMillan, he's probably going to go around top 100 as well. He ended up with like 52nd percentile age adjusted production, 2.3 yards per route run, which is like decent, nothing exceptional, but like this is kind of like the target competition that he's going to have at the next level too. So I'm not sure like if I'm going to be super pumped up for him in fantasy, but I would also not be surprised if he's on a team that has an alpha number one and he's out there. Tyler Boyd, the great kind of comp, inside outside versatility, a little more physical than the typical slot wide receiver, would not surprise me at all. So and just going back to that Rasheed Rice comparison, 6'1", 204, 4.51 in the 40. Jalen Polk, 6'1", 203, 4.53 in the 40.
But 149, 10-yard split, 95th percentile vert, 86th percentile broad jump. So like there is more athleticism.
Yes.
And I thought even more after the catch speed immediately from Rasheed Rice versus Jalen.
I agree.
I think that's all I have.
That's all I have. It's not a surprise to me. This is like one of our shortest videos. Like he's just decent at everything.
Yeah. One final thing I did want to say is Jalen McMillan is getting some late buzz, I think, in the draft process. I do believe that one reason why Jalen Polk didn't play more slot was because Jalen McMillan was there and he played the, like, I think 90% of his snaps in the slot. So that kind of forced, which is a good thing,
Polk to be this outside to inside, because they did run like four or five wide at times. Yep. So kind of the slot versus the outside stuff got blended and grayed a little bit out there too. All right. If you want to check out the longer prospect videos that we have, click the link down below. The channel has plenty of them. And the more of you that hit that subscribe button, the more cool videos we get to make. So producer Weaves, the MVP, Hayden as well. We will check you all on the next one.